This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Are you ready for the Celtics to advance, Keith?
Oh, of course I am. Bring on the second round.
Moving yes, sir. On up.
Yes, sir.
Floodgates really opened in that second half.
It kind of turned on the Magic there in that third quarter.
It got away from them.
They were playing their game. They had the Celtics playing their style of basketball. And then, it just kind of slipped away.
Maybe.
Kind of just took off
on
them.
The Celtics probably were going to win either way.
I would say so.
I said in game one, I wasn't concerned at all at halftime when the Celtics were down. Last night, a little concerning. They were playing like garbage.
It was bizarre, though, that they went as long as they did without a three.
Well,
they weren't even really taking them.
Some of us who had the Horford overprop on threes know exactly why they technically didn't hit any threes, because he had a toenail on the line on a couple of threes. I think three of them last night.
Yeah, he was close.
But at halftime, there were two of them.
Uh-huh.
And so it was a little misleading, I think, because Horford hit some long jumpers, but they were playing like trash. And then, and the Celtics probably would have won either way, Jamal Mosley, the head coach of the Magic, just leaves Paolo Banchero out there to foul out in the third quarter.
Why not?
And the game just completely gets away from Orlando.
He's like, we didn't get swept. He's like, I did my job.
But that was the Celtics team
that
for 4.5 games I was waiting to see. And not that you need to hit every three like they were making last night.
No.
But Tatum showed out in a big way.
Even when
they were down, Tatum was carrying them in the first half. I'll do it myself, as Nick just said. You have him hitting the three to open the floodgates in the second half. The Celtics run away from them. I mean, that's kind of how at least I was expecting the series to go. Those were the Celtics we were waiting for. And they finally showed up. And you have to feel pretty good about that last night with the Celtics advancing on to round two.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. And even though, you and I thought this might be a sweep, it's 5 games. You know, gentlemen sweep, Magic, give them credit. They're a little bit tougher team than I thought they would be. And the Celtics played 3 of these games without Drew Holiday, and I think they sort of had to get used to that a little bit. But the thing that was shocking was Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown did not attempt a three in the first half. It wasn't that they didn't make it, they're ice cold, and some of Kentavious Caldwell Pope's horrible shooting didn't rub off. It wasn't contagious to the Celtics, but they were 0-for-6 in the first half.
A team
that takes 50 threes a game. Took 6 threes and they missed them all in the first half.
Do you think those two and Wagner all took a no three pact in the first half? We're like, guys, we're not going to shoot threes in the first half.
We're not doing it.
And then we're going to shoot them in the second half. Wagner, noticeably didn't shoot them in the first half.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then he started launching up these bricks second half.
Heave it. Hail Marys at the end. No, this was the Larry Bird playing left-handed game. We're not going to shoot threes.
We won't shoot threes.
They're
going to
chase
half.
Us off the line, so let's not shoot threes. So the fact that, what were the Celtics down? 2 at the half?
Yeah, Tatum had the dunk right before. Tatum had the dunk right before half.
So they're down 2 at the half, and the Magic are like, the Celtics have not made a three, and we're up by 2. We're kind of in trouble.
Do you know how many they attempted last night?
When it was all said and done, 24?
24.
Yeah.
That's still a very low number for them. Now, they made a high clip because they made basically everything in the second half.
So that means what? They took 18 in the second half, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is still below their average.
That's
still way below their average, even if you doubled that up.
Look, I don't know that they can beat Oklahoma City and teams like that playing this way, but I don't mind that they won without hitting a million threes.
Yeah, and it also flies in the face of anybody's like, oh, live by the three, die by the three, and that's all they got. It's like, well, no, it's not all they got.
No, well,
I mean, they're a better team when they're hitting their threes.
Definitely.
But they at least proved over the last couple of games, if it's a grinded out, shoot free throws, make twos, they could still at least beat a team like the Magic.
Well, thank you. That's an important qualifier, though.
It is.
It's like, a team that was in the play-in round, they can beat that way. Can they beat the best teams? We'll see.
But they're a little bit more rough and tumble. They are a good defensive team.
They are.
The Knicks, or the Pistons, aren't as good of a defensive team as the Magic. Now, they're both light years better offensively, and they have guys that can scare you. They have more than 1.5 players on offense. So that's a different story. But, I mean, I credit the Magic for finding a way to, at least for long stretches, force the Celtics to play their style.
100%.
They just didn't have enough talent to do anything with it.
100%. So the Celtics can win that way, .. against Orlando.
Yeah.
We'll see. We're going to find out. Can they keep winning that way? But when they're hitting threes like they were in the second half, it's turbocharged and they run away from you.
It's not fair.
The stat you were referencing earlier, Terp had this. We'll talk to Terp at High Noon.
Pure Hoops. Can't
every
wait.
Wednesday at High Noon with Justin Turpin of
WEEI.
He's going
to be flying high. He had a Celtics in five prediction.
He did.
He nailed that.
He also had a very late night, so I don't know.
Oh, he might be a little sleepy?
Yeah, I don't know. He's flying high. We'll see.
Yeah, he told me he finished working around 4:30 this morning.
Oh, see, Lord.
He's young.
4:30?
Yeah, he's young. Yeah, you can bounce back. You can stay up till 4:30. When you're in your early to mid-20s, you can bounce back from staying up until 4:30.
That's true.
I stay up past like 11 like last night. I don't even drink.
Grab a couple of Lucky Energy drinks that are stashed around here.
I didn't have a beer last night.
No beers last night? Greg,
bro. No beers? I stayed up past 11. I woke up today. I'm like, ugh.
It was game night. No beers?
No beers.
Tuesday night, no beers?
No Tuesday beers. The Terp had the stat last night. The Celtics had zero makes and a half for the first time since October 30th, 2021.
Wild.
So October of 2021, zero makes in a half. They only attempted six in the first half, as you pointed out, Keith. None from Tatum, none from Jaylen.
I mean, there are times where either Jaylen or Tatum attempt six on their own half.
I bet that happens a ton.
All the time.
They only attempted six as a team in the half. It's the fewest in a half since March of 2019.
That's insane.
Which was the Kyrie, Marcus Morris,
Terry Rozier,
Marcus Smart, like that. Yeah, the team that all hated each other was that team.
What a squad.
That was the last team.
That was a well-assembled team.
And so the Celtics kick it into high gear in the second half. They outscore Orlando 36-13 in the third quarter, while Paolo Banchero, when he was out there, was getting foul after foul after foul. Mosley just left him out there for three fouls like a moron.
A little too aggressive there, Paolo.
I tweeted this in real time,
yeah,
and it proved to be very true. Absolute moron coaching clinic last night to just leave Banchero out there. Yeah. Horrible challenge as well, like a terrible challenge to boot.
There was bad coaching going on. We'll get into the Knicks later, but Thibodeau had some head-scratching things too. Because I did dip away from this game a little bit to watch the final couple of minutes of Knicks and Knicks and Pistons.
And we were forced to watch a little bit of the Pacers and the Bucks because...
Oh, what the hell was that? So you already have four games. There's already going to be overlap. You're already starting this game at 8:40, and I'm not trying to be the old guy. Like, whatever. Start the game whenever time. Yeah. But at least start when you tell us you're going to start. So I'm watching the Red Sox, and I'm like, all right, 8:40, let's flip over to the Celtics. And it's, oh, we're going to wait like 10 more minutes because there's a game in overtime. I'm like, a game that we're not watching is in overtime. So what, are they sharing a court?
Well, and then
we
were forced to watch that. You got a little of Halliburton and Giannis, which we'll get to coming up.
Oh, yeah.
But the Celtics kicked it into high gear in the second half and win going away. 120-89. Good NBA night. I should have had a beer, Keith.
You should have had several beers. It was a good beer
myself.
Night.
I really should.
It was a great beer night. But also, I think for the people that say the three-point shot's ruining the game, this first half was for you. You would have really loved this first half.
That's your kind of basketball right there.
Did you enjoy it more because there were no threes?
You know, I think the Celtics might need to win that way. But
I preferred them more in the third quarter,
to be honest. I didn't find that enjoyable. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number and your text line to talk Celtics all day long here on Jones and Keefe. A lot of ways you can interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch and chat. twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Shout out to John in the Twitch chat. I saw him early.
Yeah.
Watching live from the Philippines, Keith.
Nice.
On Twitch today.
Appreciate that.
So we've gone international. Sick brag, bro. Always a healthy chat going on there. And you can watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. We talked a lot about whether or not the Celtics are better off for a series like this. Do you think the Celtics are better off for having to deal with a physical team like the Magic, an annoying team like the Magic, a team that was going to make them play differently like Orlando did? And let's face it, for 4.5 quarters, this is an ugly, difficult series.
Yeah.
And for that second half, they ran away from them, but the Magic made it tough on them.
Yeah.
You said this a lot. The game was played more on Orlando's terms. Most of these games were played more on Orlando's terms in this series than certainly I expected. So are the Celtics better off for it?
Yeah, it certainly can't hurt. I think it was a physical series, and you know, we're wondering about the next couple of rounds. Even if those teams say, ooh, the Magic did something that kind of irritated the Celtics, can we do that? They might not be able to. They might not have the personnel. That might not be in their games. Like, I don't think all of a sudden Karl-Anthony Towns is going to turn into like this mauler, right? Like, it's just not in his game. So they might look at that and say, well, that can work. But I think for a couple of reasons, it's going to look at it's a benefit for the Celtics. One, they won a couple of games without Drew Holiday in the playoffs. I think that's something, because who knows with all these different guys and injuries if you're going to be able to rely on like a full squad the entire time. But also not just the, hey, offense isn't working right now, let's just fire up a bunch of threes and get back into the game that way or take the lead that way. They were able to score and win in other ways. So why not? There might be a game where, let's say you're getting the threes, but threes aren't falling, and maybe they go about it a little bit of a different way. So I think, and we heard from a lot of the players after the game too, I think they look at this as like, all right, that was maybe a slight more challenge than they thought, but something they can take with them into the next round.
So you bring up players after the game. I think Jaylen Brown mm-hmm. echoes some of what you're talking about. The Celtics could be better off long term. We're going to find out. But they could be better off long term for having to go through something like this. Here's Jaylen after the game.
Orlando did a good job of trying to make us play a different style of ball. And I think we adjusted to that well. I think, going into the playoffs, everybody was concerned with our three-point shooting. They wanted to take away our three-point shooting, or do we shoot too many threes? Can we win games? And I think, we didn't shoot a lot of threes in this whole entire series, and we had to still win games in the trenches. So I think it was a great challenge for us, and I think that it's a great step for us moving forward and a series that we can learn from.
Okay.
So I would largely agree with that.
I do agree with that.
So I'm looking at I'm looking at a number of stats. They showed a graphic last night on NBC Sports Boston. We were forced to watch on NBC Sports Boston.
I was watching there as well.
Blacked out on NBA TV.
Oh, it was on NBA? Or, for everybody else, that's where it was? Because, ESPN and TNT had the other games, right?
Yeah, and it was, Brian was telling us, I guess they had the blackout panel that they showed, but then later on you could flip in and they were also showing the game. I have
bizarre.
No idea. But NBC Sports Boston had a graphic last night where the Celtics were, maybe at the time, last among, assists. And they were highest among isolation plays and all these things that, the Celtics don't want to play that way. The Celtics right now in made threes in the playoffs are 10th with about 12 threes a game. In assists, they are 16, 15, 14, 13. They're 12th in assists. So they're not moving the ball. Mm. They're not hitting threes. Their isolation plays, I don't have in front of me right now, but going into that game last night, they had the highest level of isolation plays in the postseason, and they were able to win. So let's see if they can apply some of this, probably not against New York, because I don't think New York's going to be a rough and tumble team. But can you apply some of this against Cleveland? Could you do it against OKC or Golden State or, somebody else on that side that could muck it up with you? Maybe.
Yeah.
And so I think having to do that early on and get tested early on and get smacked in the face a little bit early on could wake them up and have them more ready than just coasting past the team. Like the second half yesterday, as fun as it was,
yeah.
If the Celtics just won that series in dominant fashion running away from Orlando, that's what I expected it to be, but mm-hmm. it wouldn't have told me much. A series like this, it tells you a little more about the team, I would say.
So would you rather, and not to steal from would you rather coming up later on in the program
yeah,
today.
Yeah, that's 11:30, yeah.
But so, the Cleveland Cavaliers won in a rout. I don't think they played a competitive game, and it was just, almost a waste of time for them. Whereas the Celtics, a couple games, they're down at the half. They have to come back. They have one game where they lose. Would you rather be the team that has a little bit of a challenge and a little bit more battle tested, or would you rather just the team that cakewalks in the second round?
Now that we've seen it,
yeah.
I would rather the Celtics. I would rather the Celtics got slapped around a little bit.
Yeah,
and let's see, is Drew Holiday healthy for round two? He's got a lot of time to rest up,
right?
I think the game should be Saturday if the Knicks wrap it up in game six. If they don't, the game is going to be Monday. Is how I read it.
Mm.
So that's a good amount of rest for Drew Holiday.
Oh yeah.
But, Tatum is not hurt. Are we done with that? Tatum's not hurt.
He looked good last night.
He seems completely fine. He's always been fine, I think. Jaylen Brown is fine. All these guys are fine. And so the only question is Drew Holiday. If they really took a chunk out of you health-wise.
You think he's fine?
I think he's always always a risk to get hurt.
Right.
But, right now, do I think he's healthy? Yeah, I think he's healthy. Do you not?
I don't know. I mean, what did he play, 21 minutes last night? I don't know.
He didn't start the second half again, which is the second or maybe it's the second game in a row or the second time in this series that Missoula has done that.
I'm always a little leery of him. It's a little bit like Gronk for a while where you're just like, he's out there. You're like, I think he's going to be fine. Then you're like, he's not.
No, he could always get hurt, but do I think he's playing injured right now? No. And so, now that I've seen, I was questioning it in real time. I'm like, the Celtics have been a little disappointing. They're underwhelming is the word I used.
Yeah.
The second half is what I expected the series to be. But now that you've advanced and now that you're through it, I think they're better off for it. Cleveland didn't get pushed at all in the first round. That told me nothing about Cleveland.
No,
this has this has a chance to tell you a little something about the Celtics.
Yeah, you can take something away of it. I mean, the first round, I think certainly for Cleveland, ended up just being an extension of the regular season. And a little bit like that for the Celtics, although the Magic were able to, as we pointed out, get under their skin a little bit. Al Horford was frustrated with these guys a little bit. I wouldn't call it adversity, but like they lost the game and they had to battle back from that a little bit. So they at least were a little bit more battle tested, if you will, than certainly Cleveland or like Oklahoma City.
So no, I agree with that. Now that they're through it, I didn't love watching it in real time. And I questioned at one point around halftime, I'm like, are they going to go back to Orlando and drag this out even more? No, they're not.
No.
They woke up in the second half and ran away from Orlando, so they're on to round two. All your thoughts on it, 617-779-7937. That's how you get in touch with Jones and Keefe on a Would You Rather Wednesday. We got some Would You Rathers for you at 1130. And, of course, Justin Turpin, WEEI, Pure Hoops with Turp at high noon every Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get to your phone calls coming up. I want to get into Jason Tatum as well. Isn't this the Jason Tatum we all, and specifically me, were asking for, the Tatum we got last night? I think it was. I will explain.
I said it, you know, this season was like the most relaxed and carefree that I've been in my career, understanding that, you know, we won last year and we accomplished the ultimate goal, and you kind of got that monkey off your back, so... you know, obviously the goal is still the same this year to win and compete for a championship. But, you know, I've just enjoyed this season of, you know, playing carefree basketball and, you know, not having that hang over my head. And, you know, it's been fun to do. And, you know, I just have just a sense of freedom that I've just carried this season, you know, with that.
Good answer from Tatum last night. You hope the Celtics play that way in the postseason. It didn't look that way for much of the series, if I'm being honest. But last night, the second half, playing relaxed, playing free and easy, it definitely looked that way in the second half last night.
Yeah. It was got a little out of hand for the Magic as the three ball kind of opened up Paolo Banchero's, you know, in foul trouble, and then they really couldn't match him. But, I mean, Tatum ended up... was the story after the first two games, right? The whole wrist thing, the, you know, Missoula comments. He doesn't play in game two. He ends up for the series averaging 31, 11, and 5.
And what did he do the last three? Was it 35, 35, 35?
36, 37, 35.
Thank you.
So he averaged 36 a game in the final three. He had 10 assists yesterday in the clincher, 8 rebounds. He's been rebounding at a really high clip this whole series. He also, they flashed the stat up yesterday too. He started the series 0 for 4 at the free throw line, and then made his next 37 or something insane, or 38. Yeah. Like, he just hit every free throw after the fact. Was at the line a lot. You know, he took 12. He went 12 for 12, 14 for 14, 11 for 11.
Right,
in
which
three
is great.
Games.
So when Tatum is struggling with his shot and scoring like 20 a game, but he's getting rebounds and assists, and people are like, "Well, still he still contributes. See, he's still a good player." Of course, he's still a good player.
Well, yeah,
but. This is the Tatum we want. And specifically, I want last night. High efficiency.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to shoot a million threes. He's getting to the free throw line, which means he's going to the rim. Like, I don't need them to win by 31 every game. I don't need him to score 35 every game. But the game prior, I really didn't think he was that great. He scored 37. I thought he was way better last night. Way better last night. He carried them when they sucked. He was front and center when they were pulling away, as was Jaylen, by the way. Jaylen was the one that got foul after foul after foul on Paolo Banchero. But this is the Tatum I've been asking for. This is the Tatum I want to continue to see. High points, high efficiency, carrying the team when they're struggling to keep them in the game, and then being a part of them kicking the other team to the curb when they're running away. Like that's the Tatum I want. And when I don't see it, the reason we call him out is because we know he's capable of stuff like this.
Oh, yeah. No, I think the scoring has to be there with Tatum. And I know you could argue, well, they're very deep and they have other guys that can score. Still, he needs to be there at the top, right? And maybe, you know, you're not going to lead the team in scoring every single game. But for the series, he really should. He has that kind of ability. He's the guy you want taking the most shots. And as the series goes on, like, if Donovan Mitchell has a lot of assists and a few rebounds but doesn't score a lot of points, like, that's not a great Donovan Mitchell game. Like, there are certain guys that need to score more, whether it's Jalen Brunson, or I would put Tatum on that list too. And, you know, what was encouraging was the first couple of games, he wasn't knocking down as many threes, but then he was getting to the line and getting his points that way. Plus, yesterday he was getting everybody else involved, especially in that second half when they were just zipping the ball all around and everything was falling.
What do you have, five assists in the first quarter or something like that? He had a ton of assists right away where he was getting guys involved.
Right, five in the first quarter.
And no one was going.
And 10 points. So like it wasn't just, you know when Jimmy Butler used to do the thing where you're like, I won't shoot, I'll get everybody else involved for a whole quarter?
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, great. No, he was scoring and he was getting everybody else
going. And the team wasn't going. No one was going.
Nope.
He was the only one going. He was the only reason they were in the game when they were playing like crap. He had the dunk right before halftime. And I don't want to over-dramatize the impact of that, but that got the crowd really into it at halftime, maybe gave the team a little bit of juice going into halftime where he goes coast to coast and jams it down. You know, they needed Banchero to get into foul trouble to really run away from Orlando. So I don't want to say it all turned after the dunk. It turned after the foul trouble that, stupidly, Banchero's coach put him in the middle of. But I think Tatum was front and center in the whole thing.
Speaking of, just for the first quarter, he scored or assisted on 20 of the 23 points.
Okay.
So like he was the whole first quarter. You're right.
It sucks they only had 23.
Right.
And it sucks that they were down at halftime. And it sucks that they were shooting so poorly in the first half.
However.
But he was going. And he kept them in the game because he was playing well. And that allowed the team to hang around close enough to run away from Orlando. So that was a dominant performance by Tatum last night. I think it was easily, not even close, his best game in the series.
Yeah.
And again, you don't need to win by 30 every night. He doesn't need to score 35 every night. He doesn't need to have all the points and the assists in the first quarter. But when stuff like that isn't there and they're losing games or they're struggling in games or he's struggling with his shot for rounds at a time like he did last postseason, this is why we call it out, because this is the Tatum I want to see. And I think he's also showed some toughness in this series. Like, I still don't love that he missed game two.
I mean, his wrist is bothering him. Like, it has
to
be.
But I feel consistent on this. We're on Jimmy Butler for missing a game for an Aspergers.
Yeah, it's the playoffs.
Right,
you play.
So, and it's a pain tolerance thing. It's reported as a pain tolerance thing. He's clearly fine.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying it doesn't bother him on some level, but he's clearly fine. So, I didn't love that he missed game two. But how has he dealt with it since he's come back?
I think he's been great.
Well, I think he's shown some actual toughness.
Yeah, good.
We want that out of him, too, and I think he's shown it.
Yeah, because in game one, when he actually got hurt, he stayed in the game. And then game two, he doesn't play. And then you're wondering, like, all right, well, how bad is this? And then after that, the guy has been a scoring machine. He even took that absolute, like, hack by Anthony Black on the wrist and was able to, like, kind of shake his head and shake it off and keep playing in the game. So, yeah, all these guys are dealing with something, obviously, at this point. And I agree. I think Tatum has at least shown the toughness. I think really the whole team has, because whether they were prepared for it or not, they realize like Orlando might not be the most skilled, but they are going to try to rough it up. So it's going to have to be a physical series.
Yeah.
And it was.
And so I don't think the Knicks can play defense, assuming it's New York in the next round, which
I think the Pistons should have swept this series, Keith, if they know what they're doing in the final 2 minutes of a game.
The Pistons should be up 5-0 in that
5-0.
Series.
Like, they won all five of these games.
It should be a five-game sweep, but they're so bad at closing these games out.
It'll be the Knicks. The Knicks almost won it last night.
So
the Pistons almost gave them that one.
And I thought the Pistons would be a sneaky, difficult little second-round matchup.
Yeah.
If you can't close out games against the Knicks, you have no shot.
They have no chance.
Against the Celtics.
None.
So, no, I think it's going to be New York. I don't think New York can play defense the way Orlando did. They're not built that way.
Yeah.
Can they give a little extra after the whistle to Tatum and mix it up with him in that way? They might be able to do some of that.
Well, they have that, but they also trying to outscore the Celtics isn't the best plan, but could they steal a game that way? So much like Orlando stole a game, kind of roughing it up, playing a low-scoring game, the Knicks, they at least have the chance that, like, Brunson and Towns and, like, they just don't miss shots one night. Maybe. But that's not a way to win a series.
It's a way to win a game. It's not a way to win a series.
Right.
Agreed. Let's get to the phone. 617-779-7937. Chris is in Pepperell. Hello, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? How we doing?
Doing great.
Awesome. First time, long time.
Welcome.
Love the show, guys.
Nice.
Thank you. So I love Tatum, and I love the Celtics. I grew up in Pepperell my whole life, so I'm a Boston fan, but one thing I saw last night when I was at the bar with my buddy, Tatum, I love him. He's great, doing awesome, but just the way he carries himself, you know, he throws his arms up in the air, he flops. I feel like he could just do a little bit better there.
So let me tell you, that does bother me about Tatum from time to time.
So he kind of set us up a little bit. He's like, I love Tatum, but...
But I kind of noticed this at the bar.
So this was also something Tatum did as a rookie,
yep,
as a second-year player, as a third-year player, yeah, as a fourth... It's not gonna change.
Look, he noticed it last night.
Okay.
If finally...
As a pepperl man.
In this series, it didn't bother me a ton. There was one instance last night, I don't know if you caught this, where I think it was Cole Anthony... Or was it...
Cole Anthony's a smaller guy than I remember.
Oh, so tiny.
Tiny little guy.
Or was it Corey Joseph? Somebody, I don't want to say undercut him, but somebody kind of boxed him on the baseline, and yeah, he had like this weird fall down flop, like, oh my God. Yeah. Like that, stuff like that bothers me a little bit about
Tatum.
Thanks
a lot, LeBron.
But honestly...
LeBron James.
Yeah, ruin the league.
Honestly, in this series, I don't think Tatum was too bad with it. And so...
I don't know if we're numb to it.
Like, if he regresses in next round, we'll call him on it. But I didn't think... At least since coming back from the wrist injury. He was terrible getting up from the floor in game one. Just ask his coach. But since he came back from the wrist injury, I don't think he's been too bad with any of that stuff, to be honest.
If you can't stand players that disagree with calls against them, like, you can't even watch the league. Like, almost every single guy.
You agree some are worse. The flopping and the history. Yeah. Like, some are worse than others.
Some are definitely worse.
Like,
but
Luka's horrendous when it comes
these guys,
to that.
Well, I mean, even go back to Kendrick Perkins. Like, that was a guy that never committed. He'd have a moving screen every single game, and he'd complain about it every single game.
But Tatum... Tatum is somewhere on that Luka scale where he's on the high end of it usually.
Well, and when he does drive to the hoop, I mean, a lot of times there's contact, and then whether they call the foul or not, he's always going to ask for one. That's just kind of how it goes.
More criticism for Tatum.
Oh, my God. Come on.
On the text line. People didn't like that
comment. After last night?
People didn't like that comment. I actually like that comment from him. He's like, I'm relaxed after we won, playing free and easy.
I can't criticize Tatum after last night.
Text line. So this is them, Keith. This is not me. This is not you. Relaxed and carefree for your career. Seems like you've always been relaxed and carefree. We need a pissed off killer.
Oh my God, you're not getting
that. Relaxed and carefree. Well, you're definitely just not getting, that's not what he is.
He's more like the silent assassin.
Right.
I thought we've talked about that quite a bit, where prior to winning a title, that was a little bit more of a, like, do you have to be Kobe Bryant to win a title? It's like, no.
No, the answer is no. Now, if you're asking me the aesthetic that I like.
Yeah.
I like that better.
But that's not good. Yeah, sure.
You know, but Tim Duncan won a ton. Curry, I think, has a little more fire than Tatum and Duncan, but he's more on that scale than, you know, guys like Kobe or something like that.
Kawhi Leonard is never said a word.
Right, good one.
Yeah.
Larry Bird, you know, like, I would rather somebody in, like, that mold, the fiery mold, as an aesthetic. But can you win the way Tatum has? He already has.
Of course.
So, yeah, no, I think that was a fair question.
How many of those guys are left? Like, the fiery, in-your-face guys are left? Anthony Edwards...
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, good one.
Yeah, Butler for sure.
There's not many of them left.
Anthony Edwards is a great one. Yeah, there's not that many of them. I mean, is LeBron?
No, get out of here.
You don't think LeBron's a fiery leader?
Pass up shots when he needs to take it at the end of the game? No.
I think he's kind of a front runner. I think when he's doing well. Yeah, I do.
Hate him.
But I think when things aren't going well, like somebody pointed out.
I don't know, he'll throw you under the bus if things aren't going well.
But then also.
But you don't think he's a fiery leader? He is.
He was like. Smiling and laughing with Anthony Edwards with like a minute to go in the game when they were losing the other night. And it's like, I don't think Jordan or Kobe would be laughing with a opponent, or Larry Bird would be laughing with an opponent during a game.
But he didn't do a lot of laughing when he was beating up on the big three Celtics at the end in his Miami days. Like, there was no love lost there. So I've seen him do it.
I thank Pierce and Garnett for that, for actually keeping up the, like, rivalries. I don't think there's a lot of that.
Yeah, but you saw LeBron do that in those series.
What do you mean?
You saw LeBron be icy to the opponent over and be fiery.
But
and
now
dominate.
I think he's like, hey, this is my league. Well, maybe. You guys can all bow down to me
at some point,
shoes.
LeBron had that. If you're telling me LeBron
I'm saying maybe
it,
now, maybe less.
Okay. Yeah, there's not a lot of those guys. Fair point.
Yeah, because like, I don't like Cunningham and Halliburton, and like, they're all great players, but you don't really get that sense.
Halliburton needs his dada.
True. I don't love that.
Should we get into that?
Yeah.
Let's get into that with all your phone calls. 617-779-7937. It's part of a broader conversation about who's left in the field, who's remaining, who's still out there, and who's the biggest threat to the Celtics. That would include, potentially, if you want to name them, the New York Knicks in round two. We'll do that with all your phone calls coming up next.
5.4 on the clock. McBride, 3 seconds, and they foul him out near midcourt. Second one. It's off, knocked up in the air, battle, knocked outside, nobody there for New York, and Detroit basketball stays alive.
Jones and Keith, Would You Rather Wednesday. We'll get to some Would You Rathers coming up at 11:30. We got Pure Hoops with Terp at high noon, Justin Turpin from WEEI. So stay tuned for that. The Knicks.
Just to close the loop real quick
on the
killers in the NBA, we were going over this.
Oh, we were in the break,
yes. Because Nick brought up a good point because people that we had a caller be like, Tatum's not like that. It's like, well, he hasn't been for 8 years. But Nick's like, how many guys in the NBA today are like that? In the 80s and even part of the 90s, almost every team had one or two. Now there might be five in the league. So we came up with Anthony Edwards, Jaylen Brown. Like, let's not sleep on Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen's not the best player on the Celtics, but Butler's not the best player on the Warriors.
And like, I would
put Butler in there.
Yeah, but just sort of like the way they kind of carry themselves, yeah. And it's like they're not there to be your best friend, at least during the game.
Sure.
All these other guys, I think there's a little bit more of that.
Well, and the other names on our list were, like, not good enough players. Dylan Brooks and Draymond Green and guys, like, they're not.
Yeah.
I mean, Draymond's had a great career, but so he's like, not that kind of player
we'll
anymore.
We'll disagree on LeBron, but if you want to put him on the list, I would say maybe he had that. I feel like he's less concerned with
that's
that
fine.
Now.
I'll meet you in the middle on that. Yeah. He had it at one point. He's aged out of it now. It's his league. He views it as, like, he's more of an ambassador than a competitor. Fine.
But at one point,
LeBron had it.
Like, there are some tremendous players, right? This is a different argument. Like, there are amazing players. The league is as talented as it's ever been. But just sort of the mentality has changed a little bit. And I don't know if it's free agency, AAU, tens of or hundreds of millions of dollar contracts, whatever it might be. That's a different topic.
You think Mitchell has any of it? I know Mitchell and Tatum specifically are friends.
Yeah.
Do you think Mitchell has any of it?
A little bit. Like, he's really good. Like, he's like one of those cold-blooded guys at the end of a game, but I don't know if he like plays mean necessarily.
Yeah, and I know him and Tatum are tight, so it's mitigated against the Celtics for sure.
Buds.
We'll get into the best teams remaining in the field. I want to get to Giannis as well, but Caleb's waiting in the car. Go ahead, Caleb.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
So my theory is that Mazzulla, who is a tough guy, just literally benched Tatum for the second game. After Tatum missed all of his three throws, laid on the court crying, Mazzulla's yelling at him to get up. I think he went in to the trainer's office and was just like, listen, bud, 114 games, you're playing like a baby, I'm sick of it. You're not playing this time. We're saying you're hurt with injury, and that's my theory.
Okay. It's a wild conspiracy. I would say,
I love a good conspiracy.
If that's true,
yes,
Mazzulla wouldn't be the coach in game three.
Yeah.
If that's true, and why not? I mean, we can speculate. Let it run wild. There's no way he benched
zero
Tatum.
Chance. Yeah. Literally zero chance. Love a good conspiracy. Yeah. We will not turn any away.
Imagine if Brad was like, how come Tatum's not playing? Is his wrist that bad? And Mizzou's like, no.
No, I sat him.
Sending a message.
No.
Like, excuse me?
What is far more likely is Tatum took a pout game. I'm going to pout for a game.
Well, if it's an either or, then yes.
Yeah. It'd be that. Far more likely than Mazzulla benched him. 617-779-7937. Who's the biggest challenge remaining for the Celtics? I think I know the answer, so I have a follow-up.
Overall or in the East?
Overall.
Thunder.
Okay.
It's still the Thunder. I think we saw it in the regular season, you know, head-to-head, and even with the Thunder, one game missing Chet Holmgren, one game missing Jalen Williams, like, they were good.
Okay. So I agree. It's the Thunder.
It's the Thunder.
Thunder is still the one team I would pick head-to-head against the Celtics. I think it's close. Not a landslide, but it's the one team I would pick head-to-head. Who's their second biggest threat remaining in the playoffs, not just in the East? Who's the second biggest threat?
Cleveland. I've liked Cleveland all year. I know there's a couple other good teams out West, and that's probably where you're leaning.
Yes.
But I'll take the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think Evan Mobley is a tremendous defensive player. How they use him, and you know, we'll see. But they have a good roster, and close game late, they have a guy that can win it for them. It's sort of like we talk about like quarterbacks in the NFL. Like, if you have the ball last, if the Cavs have the ball late, I trust Donovan Mitchell to score or do the right thing to win. So that's a game where the closing minutes could get kind of hairy, and they have somebody really good on the other side.
So if you're talking threat to the Celtics, that means they're there and they're across waiting for you in the finals. Golden State's a little scary. No,
they are. I mean, well, with that caveat.
But that's
the
threat. Right.
No, I'm not scared of them right now.
I'm
but
sure
if they
gonna
beat,
get there.
They win three series, then you obviously have to take them seriously.
They're scary if they're waiting for you in the finals.
Right, and it's really the two guys.
They're scarier than the Cavs if the Celtics have to play them in a series.
Wouldn't you argue these two guys that are on the Warriors have prevented the Celtics from already being a dynasty?
Yeah.
If Butler and Curry are the only ones that can beat them in the playoffs, essentially. So if you
that's a good
right,
point.
Like if you beat Butler one time, and who knows what you do in the finals that year, but if you beat Curry, you already have two titles. If you beat Butler, who know? I mean, right? Like that's a good what if.
Butler's knocked him out twice.
Those guys have stood in their way, so it might be a cool like slay the dragon type of finals. But yeah, as a fan, I don't know how you couldn't be like a little worried, because that means they beat Minnesota and they beat the Thunder.
Right.
Yeah.
So I would I would pick the Celtics head-to-head against Golden State, but that to me is a scarier team than Cleveland.
Okay.
Because of exactly what you just said. A Slay the Dragon element. It would be a great fairy tale ending.
That'd be a cool story.
Take them both out on the same team.
That's right.
But don't tell me you're not a little afraid of Golden State.
At that point.
If they get there. But I get your point. You're not afraid of them yet because they got a long way to go. Yeah. They got a lot of good teams to knock out. They haven't even knocked out Houston yet.
The Cavs just won like four games by 50 points and a roll. And they also beat you in the regular season. Like, the Cavs are tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't like them. You've been saying it all year.
I said if
you like that Knicks team, I get it.
I said if the Celtics lose to Orlando last night, which they did not, I didn't forecast they would.
No.
But I said if they did, I'd start to get worried about not getting out of the East. Short of that, I'm not worried about
that. What do you think of Cleveland, Indiana as a series?
I think Cleveland's going to have trouble with that series.
I think Indiana's tough.
I think Indiana's tough. I think Cleveland gets out of that.
Same. But that could be like a six-gamer.
And I think the Celtics should be rooting to get Cleveland in the Eastern Conference final. You don't want Indy again in an Eastern Conference final.
Haliburton and his dad.
easier path.
What if his dad confronts one of the players?
Easier path, Keith. But, again, I just said I think the Celtics are better off for facing Orlando. They'll be better off for having to go through Cleveland long term.
Yeah.
Speaking of Haliburton and his dad, all the antics last night, if you missed any of it, horrible, horrible, ugly overtime where Haliburton took 8 million shots. He missed everything, but he did get the game-winning layup. He did get the game-winning layup. He went toe-to-toe Dominique Larry Bird style with Gary Trent Jr.
Overtime. Gary Trent Jr.
And he hits the winning layup. Haliburton's dad gets in Giannis's face.
I'm old enough to remember Gary Trent Sr.
I want to hear Giannis after the game. Okay. I think I stand with Shime on his take earlier today.
I don't know if you stand with all of his takes.
I stand with him on the Giannis part.
Go ahead,
though. Here's big baby Giannis after the game.
Nothing. This is the last thing I'm going to say. I won't talk a lot. Last the game, it doesn't really matter. One thing I'll say is that I believe like being humble in victory. That's how I am. Now there can be a lot of people out there that are like, no, when you win the game, you got tight, and you know it's a green light for you to be disrespectful towards somebody else. I disagree.
Okay. He disagrees.
He disagrees. He also started the press conference by saying, I've won a title. I've won a title so I can do whatever
I've won. They haven't.
So he is, for a guy who's won a title, one of the great losers in sports. Like the other couple years ago when they were the one seed and they lost, and he's like, there's no such thing as failure. Like, no,
I've won the championship. They haven't.
Yeah.
So, no, Keith,
he's a big time loser, but you did win one. So it's a tough one to
He's rational. A loser who won.
A loser who won.
No, there are examples.
That's
of this.
Him.
It's not a failure. It's steps to success.
That's, what are you talking about?
That's still the cringiest thing he ever said.
He lost me on that.
Same. That's the moment I turned
I thought when he won his title, go back to whatever that was, three, 4 years ago, he won the title. His age, what he had already accomplished, I was thinking like there was a chance he could have a better career than LeBron.
Well, I know you think
at that
of
moment.
Of course you thought
no, not
that.
Now.
Yeah.
Not
no,
now.
No, but of course at one point you thought
at
that.
At the age of his title,
yeah.
I think he had like the same number of MVPs, and either he was a year ahead on the title or he was even with him. You're like, if this guy wins a couple more, and he didn't play with Dwayne Wade, he didn't play with Bosch, he didn't play with Anthony Davis, he didn't play with Kyrie, he played with Chris Middleton. And he could have won all these titles, but he wins one, and now he sucks.
Yeah.
Taken out of the first round. I mean, he doesn't suck. He's a great player, but like he's a loser.
His team sucks. Yeah. I agree. It's the exact word I would use for Giannis. Loser.
Yeah.
Oh, he won, Jones. Yeah, so did A-Rod. Isn't A-Rod a loser?
A-Rod's a loser player.
Yeah. A-Rod is a loser player.
Brett Favre?
Manning.
Loser player. Won a title. Manning, loser player.
Even Manning.
These are all losers.
Like, they're kind of all losers.
They're all losers.
They had a bunch of early choke exits.
Now, yeah,
like,
true.
Those are all guys. Yeah, they all won. And I feel more strongly about A-Rod than Manning. But yeah, they all won. They're all kind of losers. Giannis is in that group.
Giannis
is in the loser-winner group.
Now, here's where we have to, at least I have to disagree with Sean. He's like, Halliburton's dad can say whatever he wants.
So
Halliburton's dad needs to shut up, too.
So
like, they're both losers.
Halliburton's dad is a clown. No doubt about it. I don't stand with Shime on that aspect. The Giannis part, that Giannis is a douche and a loser, I stand with Shime.
I like trash talk. I think sportsmanship is widely overrated. I don't think there's really any use for it. So if the players on the Pacers wanted to talk trash,
great. No harm, no foul.
You won. You can do that. If the
mommy and daddy are out there fighting your battles,
daddy are on the court talking, get out of here.
Not great.
So that's one I can't take either. Halliburton's dad and Giannis, like I don't like either one of them.
Yeah, I don't even, but
there's no winner there.
Outside of Shime, I don't get the debate about Halliburton's dad. About Giannis, though, loser. I'm with you on that.
Big time loser.
617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. We have Celtics thoughts all day long. You got thoughts on Giannis last night. You can weigh in on that. It's Would You Rather Wednesday. We'll do that at 11:30. And we'll start to mix in some Patriots talk as well. Another captain cut by the Pats.
Dropping like flies.
The leaders are all out. What does it say about Mike Vrabel? We'll get into it with your thoughts next.